For a short time this morning, there's something that's it's always been on my mind, because in Matthew, the 7th chapter, I think probably all of you know the first verse. It's, "Judge not that you be not judged." And the second verse says, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And most people that don't want to be judged, they point to the first verse and say, well, that means you can't judge. But Jesus' message in the Sermon on the Mount wasn't that you couldn't judge. It was, be careful and be mindful of how you judge, because with the attitude you have about judging will probably be used to judge you if you're not repentant. And with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. So be careful. It's the way most of us understand that. Not that we can't judge. You can't get out of this building without making a judgment. What furthers this thought is when we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 9, I guess. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." In verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." What is the natural man? These are not my words. I'm using something from Brother Zur has here. His natural is from a long, hard word to pronounce in the Greek, and literally means the animal part of man. In a sentence like our verse, there says it means governed by the sensuous nature with its subjection to the appetite and passion. A man thus interested in the things only that will gratify his fleshly desires will not receive and appreciate the things offered by the Spirit of God, for they are not composed of matters that would give carnal pleasure. Hence they will seem foolish in his estimation, so that he will not know or realize their real worth. They are spiritually discerned. They can be discerned, or their true value be recognized, only by those who take a spiritual interest in them, seeking only that which will impart spiritual benefits. The natural man, God created him. Created Adam and Eve. We know Adam and Eve both sinned. Eve was deceived, and Adam chose to join her in sin. We know in just a very few generations, the world was so sinful that God destroyed it by water. Saved 8 souls and the animals on that football and a half field long ark. The world was so wicked. And we have kind of a bit of account how they mocked Noah when he was building the ark. And they were so wicked and so sensual and so appealing to their natural feelings. They didn't listen to Noah, and they weren't saved, and they were destroyed when the waters came up. The natural man, a few generations after the flood, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We don't see a lot of the natural man there, but in just a generation later, we see a very... Joseph and his trials with his brothers and so forth. Men are becoming more and more natural and not spiritual. We find them hauled off into they weren't really hauled off in captivity. They went down and became captives because of God allowing there to be famine in their land. They went down into Egypt to buy grain, and then they finally went down there and were with Joseph. And we don't hear a lot about them being ungodly people while they were in Egypt. They were focused on some of the abuses that came later when they were down there, not the joys that they had in having such a good land when Joseph was blessed to have his family go in the land of Goshen. It was a good place, but they're soon... with a different Pharaoh, they have a different situation. And so their attentions were all concerning, how hard they were having to work. And not only do we have to make bricks, we got to find our own straw to put them in them and all this. And so we don't see how natural or their thoughts and their wickedness at that point, because their attention was just against the Pharaoh. And God allows them to escape all this. And it took 12 plagues to, 10, to get them out of Egypt. And here they see the waters open up and allow them to get out and walk across on dry land. And when the waters close, they see their enemy being drowned and overtaken by the waters as God released the waters in the Red Sea. We find them traveling around, and we find sin growing. They're reverting back to the natural man and not the spiritual man. And Moses has to confront all this. And we know what happens when he goes up on the mountain and God gives him the commandments written on stone. He comes down and sees how carnal they are. I don't think God's saying you can't dance, but what they were doing in their dance would be what we'd call a lasciviousness. They were giving in to their loins, their belly, and their reproductive tract, you might say. These things were of the natural man. God has Moses take the stones down the second time, since he breaks the first ones, and brings a little more civility to their life. It goes on and on. We have the sins that are in the world. We have people dealing with it. We have kind of a sanitized life so often in so many generations, going back hundreds and hundreds of years, about, it wasn't really God's way or God's God's desire for the people to be, but they've always been influenced from the times of Adam, from the times of Noah, from the times of Moses and Abraham. They've been influenced to have some measure of godliness in their life. And so it's not like we're living with people that are the only thought. I mean, there are people that's their only thought is their belly and their the sins of the flesh. But we have so many people that even some people that are not godly people still believe in many things that that keep them from being these purely natural beasts. We're thankful that we live in a nation that has had some religious leanings and laws that help us be better people and get along. And as we look back in Exodus this morning, the Ten Commandments are there. And those commandments aren't obeyed by a lot of people in the world. We take the sin of adultery, sin of false testimony, in other words, lying and adulterous fornication. There's other of the Ten Commandments that are frowned upon following anymore by a lot of people. So we might see that, recently that we've seen laws and godly things frowned upon by our government, leader of our land, is accepting things that are not pleasing to God. Marriages are considered legal that were never meant by God to be right with man. And we find ourselves opposing our government and opposing some of our candidates and so forth for various reasons. Back to Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use it, and same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Yes, we are to judge. We have to judge. People are crazy. They're throwing up a smokescreen when they say, you can't judge me. If we use God's word as we're supposed to, we are to judge. We're to know what God's word is so we can know what's right and wrong. We offer you the gospel invitation this morning. We don't want you to live in the life of a natural man or a natural woman. We want you to be spiritually minded and spiritually controlled. And I don't want you to feel like you are totally lost and never be saved if you have some of those physical pulls that are involved in being that natural man. We have Paul. He had things he suffered. He wished he could be delivered from them, but God didn't choose for him to be delivered from some of his temptations and his afflictions. Whatever your needs be, you're able to have all your sins washed away. It won't take away the passions and the belly problems, but it can put you on a way of salvation, being right with God, and have your old sins removed, and give you a capacity to find forgiveness in the future through prayer, to have your sins washed away. Whatever we can do, make sure you leave this world in a safe state. Stand.